bucket for a toilet, and we cannot see the sun. Bucket for a toilet, and we cannot see the sun.
Good morning and welcome to episode 194 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thanks for stopping around. Good stuff. Some good basketball. Hope everybody has enjoyed a fun week of hoops. I don't have loads of time right now. I'm in the middle of some crazy stuff going on and only a couple days from leaving a month. So I leave on Monday for a month. So the next four episodes will be from the road. Just pretty crazy trying to get everything set up. Heading up to Berlin to cover the football European Championship. Soccer going on in France. I'm not going to say I'm totally looking forward to that, but I guess it'll be something different. But it'll make me that much more excited to go to Saragossa for the under-17 European World Championship, so that I'll be jacked and ready for some hoops by that time. If you want to get a hold of the show, contact me at Hein News at on Twitter, and that's HEINNEWS. There's the Facebook group, so you put in Taking the Charge podcast and you get to us there. And the email address is hinnews@gmx.de, and the website is hinnews.com. So go, plenty of ways to get in contact with us, and would love to hear from you. First off, then just some of the news. Golden State turned it around and got their gave us a repeat of the final. Looking forward to this one, actually. Have to check the dates. Hopefully can stay up and watch the games. Really hoping for a Cleveland victory. I know a lot of people may not like them, but I'd like to not see Golden State win. So LeBron, hey man, you got six NBA finals in a row. That's pretty impressive. So even if it's in the East, that don't matter. So congratulations to them. I didn't really think that Golden State would come back, so you have to, tip your hat to them for the comeback. It's going to be fun. I think I think you look at Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry, obviously those two guys are going to, have to be stopped. But you look at this Cleveland team, and I think they're a lot better than they were last year. And I think last year, LeBron just, had him on the brink and just couldn't do it all on his own. And this year, Love and Irving are there. Channing Frye's made a huge difference with his 3-point shooting. And it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna go out and say that the Cavaliers are gonna win, and I think they're gonna win in six. I think a game seven would be pretty exciting, but I still say they're gonna win it in six. I guess the only real thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that in Germany, we have the final set, and that's Ratio Farm Ulm against Brose Baskets Bamberg. A pretty pretty impressive performance by Ulm, knocking out Oldenburg in the first round, and then going to Frankfurt in that first game and grabbing the home court advantage, and then making it 2-0. They got blasted pretty good in Frankfurt in game three, but then game four had a huge lead. We're up by 20 with 7 minutes left in the third, and it was still an 18-point game with 7 minutes left in the game. And ended up winning only by one. Frankfurt actually had a chance on a toss-in to win it at the buzzer and force a game five, but Ulm pulled it out. Now they have to go up against Bamberg, who absolutely demolished Bayern Munich in the game three for the sweep of Bayern Munich in the semifinals. So you look at the two matchups during the year. Bamberg won by 10 points in Ulm back on November 11th. And then Bamberg won by 37 at home on April 10th. I don't think that Ulm will win. Basically they have a 7-man rotation of Per Günther and 6 Americans. They're getting a couple minutes from Joschka Ferner, but that's really it. I mean, it's basically just the 7-man rotation. And, if they can somehow, who knows? I know this is not exactly the greatest analysis, but, nobody thought that, or very few people, there were a couple out there, thought that they could beat Oldenburg. I don't really think many people thought that they would beat Frankfurt. And even a lot of people I talked to when they lost game three by something 30 points or more, they actually thought, okay, well, it's over now for Ulm, even though they were up 2-1, going back home for game four at home and to close out the series. So nobody's picked Ulm really, and they've continued to win, and I really don't know how they could, I don't know how they could steal three games from Bamberg. It's if they steal one, yeah, a lot of people are going to say sweep, I would imagine. And that wouldn't surprise me in the very least, but still, it's a team that's been, shat upon, just said these guys have no chance, and they're really playing fantastic basketball right now, but Bamberg's playing unbelievable basketball as well. So it would shock me if they bring it to four games. It would be one of the, in my eyes, one of the biggest upsets. If they were to actually, if Ulm were to actually pull this thing out, it'd be one of the biggest upsets in European basketball, club domestic league basketball, winning a title. I'd have to, talk to some people and figure things, whatever. But it's the biggest one that I think I'd find. Yeah. So just, game one is on Sunday. So looking forward to watching that. Actually I had a chance at game two of the Bamberg series to talk to Ralph Beyer, the general manager, basically, about a couple of different things. So here's my talk with him, and we'll catch you on the other side of that.
Ralph Beyer, we're here Bayern at Bayern Munich. You guys, Bamberg, came up with a pretty big victory, especially second half, played really, really well, up 2-0. Of course, it's far from over, but it definitely looks a lot better now. How relieved are you seeing the team play really well in the second half and get this big victory?
I was sweating, to be honest. Okay, not only due to the temperature in the arena, it was a really tough one for all of us. I think in the beginning we didn't have the balls, cojones, to play that kind of game. We knew that they were coming in physically, that they want to distract us, and they did really well. They had a good game plan, and we were just some kind of worried. We didn't make good shots. We didn't pass the ball, so it was kind of shaky, the whole system. You saw it. And Nikos was the only one who kept us in the game. Even if it could have been worse, for my opinion, in the first half. But they showed their character. They showed willingness. They showed energy, and that's, I think, the key point. Nikos was for me the key player today. Brad for sure, but also Luka, who came in and defended Anton very well. It was better than having 4 points scored. He was a defender, and they didn't see the energy, and he brought in the energy. Daniel came back, so the whole team rebuilt themselves, and they showed what is in their character, what is in their substance.
I know the other side doesn't, it's also 2-0 with Ulm ahead of Frankfurt. Not to say at all which team you might be interested in playing at all. That's not the question. But what do you think about this Ulm performance? You know, under man. You know, they only played with a 7-man rotation basically, and knocked off Frankfurt to go up 2-0.
It's amazing when you asked me at the beginning of the season who is one of the top 4 or 5 candidates of the season, I would have said Ulm, and then they underperformed there because they had a very good roster with Morgan, Carlton Brown. They had shooting weapons, they had everything in their team, but they had not luck with their injuries. Not everything worked out well, so now they have a clear curve in this season. They have a really stable development. And Frankfurt, I think, is kind of, after the Euro Challenge win, they're kind of done, it looks like. Especially the big men, starting from Aaron Dornikam and Vogtmann and Bartel, there's missing something. That's my perception. And Ulm is energy. It's Per Günther himself and Raymar Morgan and also Chris Bepp, mm-hmm. and Rubin in the last game. So they're increasing, and it looks like Ulm is going to make it. I have no favorite. We had a good matchup with Ulm in that season, but that doesn't count anything. Right, we lost Frankfurt, yeah. We won Ulm, we won Frankfurt, so I don't care for that one. They're both good teams, and they both deserve to be in the semifinals, and they might both deserve to be in the finals. So I'm curious who we're going to match up, but let's play the third game in Bamberg.
Of course.
If we release only 5%, it's going to be very dangerous, very difficult on Sunday.
I just was kind of wondering, since the last time we talked, there's been a little bit, I guess, only a little bit of clarity with all of the things that are going on with FIBA, EuroLeague, Basketball Champions League. Is there anything you can want to say about everything that's going on?
To be honest, I don't know, and that's the truth. I met Carmen Novak, I met Hordi, I met Edu at the Final Four 10 days ago. And I was asking them, guys, what's going on? When are you meeting the next time? Because I think they had a very productive meeting for the first session. They did 6 hours some 4 weeks ago. The EuroLeague had to reset for the Final Four, was sure. The whole organization was working on that one. But I think it's still a long way to go. There is some power struggles in the management which have to be resolved, and both parties have some kind of good arguments. And my deepest wish, and I repeat that all the time, I think that the solution is not too far. So they have to sit together and forget all their power stuff and find a solution for European basketball.
I mean, I know you're still a little bit further away, but I mean, you have guys in mind what you want to do for next season already.
Yes.
But that's also contingent on where you play. I mean, if you're going to be playing, yeah. you know, if everything goes on course and you win the league, you win the, and you go to the EuroLeague, that's 64 games without playing, let's say, a quarterfinal playoffs yeah. or without playing a playoff game in the BBL, which means you probably have to go a little bit deeper on your roster. Maybe how frustrating is it knowing that you really you can't do anything yet because you don't really don't even know?
We're dealing with that kind of story now since November 9. It's 6 months, 6.5 months. You get used to it. It's frustrating for sure. And I asked the guys to find a quick solution because for sure we are working on the roster and there are conditions and then premises in the contracts. But we had that situation last season as well where we had to wait until game five whether Brad or Giannis are going to stay because they had these kind of conditions in their contract. So it's nothing new for us. It makes the planning more tight time-wise, but okay, I think we are on track. We have all sorted, all the conversations run well. It's a matter of money for sure, and we will not overload our budget to what we cannot afford.
A much more pleasant note. I was in Ulm over the weekend, and Brighton Gusbach picked up its second NBBL title. You know, there's a couple of guys that I think long term probably play a role in your club's vision with Kratzer and Taras and Kobolka probably being the big three. Thoughts about them coming through in Ulm, taking down Ulm, showing that they can win in a when they don't play that well, and then really just playing great defense against Alba, second title since 2012.
Yeah, it's at least a big statement for our youth program. It shows that we are making the right moves. This team, okay, it was kind of the favorite in the beginning. Everybody said it from the beginning of the season. They have to win the title with that Pro A level players with age 16, 17 years. But you have to go through that. You have to have the psychology, the mindset to go through that favorite role, and they did it. They found together the last 8 weeks because we mixed the teams over the season. There were a lot of guys in the Pro A playing. We had a very, very poor training situation in the NBBL with 5-6 guys. So we'll adjust that one for the next season. I'm proud of these guys, and that shows that we can put them into our puzzle. It's difficult, to be honest, because the gap between the Pro A level and our system BBL is a big one. So, and there is no compromise in the system, and that's also the discussions we have in our systems. Do we bring guys from abroad or the local guys, and we have to deal with these things because Bamberg is a traditional regional basketball community. They want to see the local guys, but we have to improve on the top level to bring in guys like Arnoldas Kubocka or Felix Edwardson. But nevertheless, somebody like Nico Wolf or Nils Hasfurter, even Oliver Goldland or Heinrich Überall brought the energy to win that game.
You mentioned Kobolka. This was your, you know, basically the end of his first season here. You know, he was a big name coming from Lithuania. Yeah. You know, a Lithuanian leaving Lithuania yeah. to come to Bamberg. You know, that's also a statement. What do you think about how the young Lithuanian talent playing Pro A and then playing 98 and a 97 generation in the NBBL? How do you think he stacked up this year?
Just repeat that.
How do you think he's played this year?
To be straight, he wouldn't like that statement. So I would say. He has a bunch of talent in his head, in his arms. He's still a teen. And he likes to play basketball, but he has to learn discipline, he has to learn the consequences, he has to defend. There are big efforts to do still. He made some statements in Toronto on the tournament and in the Adidas tournament. So he shows the potential, but it's an 18-year-old kid who has to make a long way to come to BBL or NBA level.
Plans next year for Kotsur and Taras? Is it basically now just full-time Pro A and maybe some training with the professionals? Is that what it looks like right now, or has there been any talks about what's going on?
Oh, Leon has the body to work on
he's
the.
He's a beast, man.
Yeah.
He's got to work on his free throws, though.
that's a point. Okay, you see Andrea's system. Andrea's system is pick and roll system, so he has to work on the pick and roll. He's a post play. He plays very well with the back to the basket, but he has to run the quick pick and roll plays because that's our philosophy, is to work on that. I think we might see him the one or the other BBL game because he proved to have a good energy level, rebound level. He has scoring mentality. He has every skill we need. So might be the 11th or 12th man in our rotation. We'll see.
Plus the size. I mean, you can always use a big guy, especially as a German.
Yes, sure. Let's finish the season and then we discuss the whole roster. There is some ideas on that one for sure.
I will let you go with that. Thanks a lot. Congratulations. Okay. And see you game three.
All right. That's so a lot of good stuff in there. I just can't imagine what some of these teams are like trying to figure out what they're going to be doing next year, what competition they're going to be in. In the level of competition they're going to be in. So I can imagine it'd be pretty frustrating, especially if your season's already over. I mean, if your season's not over, at least you still, you know, have the current campaign to worry about, if you will. But, I mean, if you're done and you're trying to put together teams, you know, then you know you're going to play internationally, but you just don't know where. I can imagine it's really, really frustrating. All right, so I wanted to actually finish off the interviews from the Adidas Next Generation Tournament to kind of let you have those wonderful nuggets. I guess first one we'll start with is Benin Hund, since we were in Germany. Benin Hund from Alba Berlin, their quick little point guard who reached the final of the U19 NBBL for Alba, but lost to Bamberg, lost to Brighton Gusbach. So here's my chat with him, and we'll see you on the other side of that.
I guess maybe just first of all, congratulations, the first victory that Alba's ever gotten at the finals. Thoughts on that?
Well, I'm proud of my team that we got that first win. It's always hard to play the last game of the tournament and knowing that we won't get into the finals, but we said all right, let's start the game aggressive and play as a team and focus on our defense, and we did that. And then halftime it was a close game, so we said all right, the last two games we also had a close game at the halftime, but then gave it up in the second half. So we said all right, that's the last game. We won't give that game up. We want to win. So we played as a team in the second half. I tried to play aggressive, make some plays, get my teammates involved. So I'm really happy that we got that last win.
I mean, what do you think it means for this organization? You know, second time that they're hosting the event, but they get the victory this time.
Well, I think it's a great event. The organization is fantastic, and I think it's always good that the host team or the team from Berlin, Alba Berlin, got the last win, because it's always better, you know, when we get out of the tournament with a win, with a better feeling. And it's really competitive here, a high level, and now we know that we can compete on that level.
I saw your brother was born in Oldenburg. Were you born in Berlin, though?
I was born.
You were born here. Do you remember 09? Were you here then? I mean, if you were a Berlin kid, do you?
I don't remember a lot of things, but I remember Niels Giffey. Mm-hmm. He played in the tournament. And I remember some things, and I knew that it was a big tournament back then, but I can't remember everything. Mm-hmm. But I knew about it.
What's it mean for you to take part in this? I mean, you know all the names that have played in this tournament over the years, and now, you know, you're in there as well.
It's a big honor. I mean, we worked hard to get here, and we're kind of lucky that we're here because we didn't
qualify
for that. But I think it's very cool that we're here. It's high level competition, a lot of good players, and when you look at the past, there are a lot of good players too that played in that tournament. So it's great to be here.
Maybe talk a little bit about, let's say, your game. You know, people might look at you and say, oh, he's small and, you know, don't really know what else he can do. But, I mean, if you watch your game, you do a lot of very, very good things for the team. Is there the thing, you know, that you have to overcome the size thing? I mean, was that always something that kind of pushed you?
Well, I was always small, so I grew up being small and playing against older and bigger people, bigger players. So I'm kind of used to that. So I'm just go out there and trying to play basketball like I always do. I try to be aggressive, try to beat my defenders with my quickness, not with my size, and then just make plays, create for my teammates, or get an open shot.
So you use that size and quickness as an advantage, even then?
Where it's possible. I'm just trying to be the best I can be out there. And if it's the speed that I have an advantage, then it's going to be the speed. So yeah, I'm just used to it, being smaller than them, and I don't mind being small. I just have other tools that I use on the court.
You just said 178, is that right?
Yeah.
We'll come back to the tournament in a little bit more detail, but knowing that you played at the Albert Schweitzer just really a couple months ago, how much did that help you to perform here?
Well, it motivated me. It was a huge win at the Albert Schweitzer tournament. We played really good there, so now I was motivated to play here. I knew that I could compete at the level, play at the level. So now with my home team, Alba Berlin, I was looking forward to that tournament because I knew it was a really big tournament. A lot of people come there, a lot of good teams and players and coaches are there. So the Albert Schweitzer tournament really helped me to prepare for this tournament.
What are your thoughts about that tournament? I mean, Germany's always been the home team, and even one year they had two teams, one edition they had two teams there, but never won it. And you guys were the first, obviously there's loads of talent on that team. What's it mean to be known as Albert Schweitzer tournament champion?
It means a lot. I'm really proud of my team. It's an honor to be part of this team that won the Albert Schweitzer tournament for the first time. We play good basketball, we play good defense. I think we played good as a team. We have some good individual players, and it was really fun to play there because the competition also was really high. It was a lot of fun also playing in front of a home crowd.
And also then getting back to the national team. You were off last summer, didn't play for the national team. How nice was it to be back in the mix? Obviously knowing that a real big summer is coming up this year with the under-18s, which are the qualifiers for the Worlds.
I liked it. I was looking forward to play with those guys again. I haven't seen them in a while. We didn't have that much preparation time for the tournament, but we found ourselves. We got to know each other better again. We had some practice together, and then it just worked out fine. And now I'm really looking forward to the summer. We have some great guys in the team. I think we can play really good basketball when we play together and as a team and aggressive.
Do you think your performance in Mannheim kind of solidify that, you know, a very, very legitimate chance that you're going to be in Samson?
Yeah, a little bit, but I'll continue to work hard to compete with those other guys in my team to be at the European Championship in Samsung. I think it gave me confidence. It gave me a lot of confidence that I know that I can play at that level. I can compete with those guys. But yeah, I'm just gonna continue to get in the gym, getting up shots in order to be prepared for the summer.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see your game? What are you working on now? I mean, you said get up shots. Are you working on being a threat outside more than? I mean, I was told that you have a pretty solid scoring game, but the teams you've been with, you really don't have to show that. What are you working on your game?
Well, I'm the point guard of the team, obviously, so I gotta make sure it's organized on the court. We know what plays we're gonna run, but I don't wanna be seen as a player that only passes the ball and just dribbles the ball to the front and then calls a play. I wanna be seen as a player that also can score, just being aggressive and create for my teammates, just the all-around game that a point guard has to have.
Who are some of the guys you looked up to growing up?
Well, obviously you look up to some NBA players like shooters or ball handlers, but I also look at guys like Teodosic and European players, because I play in Europe right now. Look at their passing game, their decisions and pick and roll. So Teodosic would be one, or guys like Chris Paul in the NBA that can create plays, that can make big shots.
What was it like meeting Papaloukas, who's been known to make a decision or two as well?
It was a great experience meeting him. He said had some good advices for us. He said a lot of important things a player has to have, has to remember, and for our future that would be important. So it was a great experience meeting him and listening to him, what he said.
Biggest lesson that you learned from it?
He said that first you got to be a good player, and then you got to be a good teammate. Mm-hmm. And that's really important, because on that level, a lot of players are really great, but then the next step is to become a good team player. And that will be important too for the summer. When we're good teammates, when we're a good team, then I think we have to...
That chemistry is going to be big if you have a lot of talent.
Really important, yeah.
I saw that you were in Dalton in Georgia for a year last year. How did that come about? What did you do there?
I was in Dalton and played at a high school there. It was a really great experience, getting to know a different style of playing basketball. It's always a little bit different, the league here in Europe and the high school league over there. It's kind of different. It's faster there. There are a lot of athletes, and it was just a great experience, and I think it helped my game and to improve.
Experiencing that athleticism, was that the main thing?
It helped me a lot.
Yeah. Brothers 96, Jonas, is that right?
Jonas.
Did you play a lot together? I mean, you're 96, 98, you know, it's not really that big of a difference. Did you grow up playing basketball with him together? What was that relationship with like?
My brother and I have a really good relationship. We always like playing outside together, playing one-on-one or just making shots together. I think I always learn a lot from him. And it's always fun to compete against him, but our relationship is really good.
All right, how's it go with that?
Okay, really pleasant, pleasant kid, and I'm happy that he's able to. You watch him the first time you see him in warmups. If you've never seen him play before, you're like, okay, he's. Just the guy who organizes things, but he could do a lot of good stuff. So. Next guy, Dino Radoncic, who is with Real Madrid. My eyes, he should have been the MVP of the Hospitalet Adidas Next Generation Tournament, and I really can't believe he was not on the all-tournament team for Berlin. But you know, that's what happens. Just was phenomenal there. I by far the leader of the team, and and really was able to take over games probably more than almost anybody else in the tournament. And so here's my chat with him, and we'll see you on the other side of that one.
Hey, Dino, tough loss here. You knew that you needed the win. Basically, maybe how do you feel after this?
Yeah, it was a really tough loss because we entered to win and to play the final. We gave everything, and I'm really proud of my team, what we did, and we fought till the finish.
What do you think was the difference out there today? You know, you had a slow start. I don't think for 17 minutes you didn't score. Obviously, that didn't decide the game. But in general, what do you think was really the deciding factor?
The deciding factor was that we really could do more, and we didn't play as we know. And I think that was the factor. They run more, defend more, attack more. We didn't do our job, and they won.
How disappointing is this? You know, Madrid was in the last two finals, and you know you're not able to go back to the final. How disappointing is it?
Well, it's not disappointing because we know we gave our everything, but we wanted to be in the final 3 years in a row. But that's what it is, and next year will be better.
Developing a nice little rivalry between Madrid and Zvezda, huh? With the last two finals and this exciting game. What do you think about that, being part of that sort of youth basketball rivalry?
Yeah, it is a best youth rivalry, and I think that he'll be keeping up more. But next year we will win for sure, and I'm really proud of my team, what we did, and that's all.
Thinking that that Luka Doncic actually could have been here, what does that say about the quality of this club in general? That you know they can even have a guy like him not even be here, and you're still in the final.
Yeah, Luka, it's a really great player, one of the best, as you know, and he will help us a lot. But he's senior now, he's developing there very good. Madrid note. And with this team, we did what we did, and we are really proud of what we did, of our work, and really proud.
What's it like for you to be in this competition? It's the first time for you. You know, you go to Hospitalet and you win that. You come here, you only lose against a great team like them. What's it been like for you?
For me, it's a really good competition, good experience, and I'm really happy to play this because last year I was cadet and I was watching all this winning, but this year we played good, we win Hospitalet, and here we did what we could, but next year I'm sure that we will be better.
Actually, less than a week ago, you guys lost to Barcelona. You know, you beat them in the Hospitalet final, and you lost to them in the final for the under-18s. Thoughts about that?
Well, we played in group on Spanish Championship, we won. And we entered to that game very good, playing our like we know. They were better, they were shooting very good, Kurutz, Vila, as you know, and that's it.
Yeah. What's it like for you to be here in Germany? I guess you were born in Gießen and stayed here for the first 7 years of your life, is that right?
Yeah, my father played Bundesliga in handball. Mm-hmm. I really like to come here, and I would like to go place where I was born, but when I have more time, I will go sure.
Do you have any sort of connection to Germany at all?
No, just I was born here. That's all I know. My father has a lot of friends here, and I'm really happy to be here to play this tournament and hope to come back.
And so did I see correctly that you left Germany when you were seven?
Yes, I left Germany when I was 5 or 6 years
five or
old.
Six, okay.
I went to Spain because of my father's career.
Ah, okay.
And that's all.
And then you went to Zrenjanin.
Yeah. My mother is from Zrenjanin, and okay. We all family went there to live. I was 8 years there, run basketball, run school, and then I go to Barcelona.
When did you move there?
I moved there when I had 6 years old.
When you were six?
Yeah.
So you were only in Spain for 1 year then?
Yeah.
And then you went there?
Yeah.
And when you went to Barcelona, you know, you were, so 2003, you were 14? 13, 14?
14.
Looking back on that, your thoughts about making that move to such a big club?
Yeah, it was a really big move for me. We went to Barcelona, learned a lot, have a lot of good friends, but as you know, things didn't went well, and I'm really happy in Real Madrid.
What's it like being a part of this club? Just in general, you know, I mean, it's, you know, there's so much prestige in it. So what's it like to be here?
In general, I'm really proud to wear this shirt, to be white, and I am really happy to be here and to have this privilege to play for Real Madrid.
You actually had a privilege already this year to make your ACB and your EuroLeague debut. If I had told you that maybe a year ago, what would you have said?
I would have said you're crazy. Impossible, but I'm really happy and proud of what I did. Thanks for Real Madrid to give me a chance, and hope to be better in next year.
That sounds really low-key. Tell me about it. I'm sure you were excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I played versus Boston Celtics, and it was incredible entering for Nocioni, who played NBA, and being with them. Thanks to Coach Pablo Lasso for giving me the chance and opportunity, and I was really happy.
And playing ACB already and playing EuroLeague already at this age, I mean, this is, you're already taking that step to the professional level.
Yeah, it's a really big step, and I'm really happy for could do that. I played EuroLeague one game versus Red Star, I scored 1 point, and today when I see those videos, I nearly cry.
Some of your role models growing up?
My role model growing up was my father, and my idol is Sergio Rodriguez and Sergio Llull, because of the way they were with me when I was in first team, learning from them, and I'm still in contact with them.
Those are the guys that really, let's say, were the first real basketball guys that you really looked up to them?
Yeah, I'm looking up from them because when I was 8 years old, I watched Sergio Rodriguez in Knicks.
Okay.
And then this year I played with him, and he intended to help me score points, and it was incredible.
Your father played handball. Was another sport any option? I think you started when you were in 2010, right, with basketball? Was another sport an option?
My father always told me, play what you like and what makes you happy. I begin with football. I played 2 years football, and then I begin with basketball, and here I am.
And when did you stop playing football?
I stopped playing football, I think, 2010, 11.
Oh, okay.
When I was 9 years old, I began basketball, and that's it.
What was it like meeting Papa Lucas? Obviously a guy who's done so much. What was it like meeting him?
Yeah, it was great meeting him and hearing his stories. I looked up from them when I was young, you know, Papa Lucas is Papa Lucas, and I'm really happy to go meet him and learn something and hear those stories.
Maybe just in general, your game, I mean, you're still so young and you still have so much you can do, but what are you working on your next one or two things?
I want to be a professional. I'm giving everything to be that. I want to help my family, help my friends, and I think I could do that. And I will do that. I will train to do that. And I'm really happy to have the opportunity to be in Real Madrid, who's giving me a chance, and it will be everything okay.
All right. Yeah, really good kid. And he's on the preliminary roster for Montenegro. For the Eurobasket 2017 qualifiers, which, you know, and finishes off some people wondering exactly what he's going to do. Some people thought he'd go to maybe play for Spain. Some people said he'd play for Serbia, but he ended up playing for he's going to end up playing for Montenegro. So good for him, and definitely looking forward to watching plenty of him in the future. Really great talent. Final guy is Nikola Miskovic from Megalex Belgrade. So catch you on the other side of that one.
Okay, Nikola, we're here. Adidas Next Generation, the finals. Mega did not get a victory, but I would say a learning experience probably. What do you think you and the team learned from this?
I think this is our first time. I think we're one of the younger teams. We have, like, I think 8 players, 99 years old to 2000. I think it's a very great experience for us. Unfortunately, we didn't finish the tournament like we expected with one win. We didn't expect the one win. We expect to came and to surprise teams like European giants like Žalgiris, Barcelona, and to to came in the circle with them and to ensure the finals, but we didn't do that. We tried to self-motivate ourselves to go against INSEP, and they're real to win, and they're, I don't know, they came better, they came self-motivated, and they won. I think that's not a real result for us.
What do you think you learned from this whole thing?
I think it's a great tournament. I had a chance to play and compete against Europe's best players. It's honor for me to be there and to compete. Just to compete, play basketball and be happy. I think that's the best way to. It's the only thing that matters, I think.
A couple of weeks ago, you and a lot of those players, the 99s and 2000s, won the U17, the cadet championship. Yeah. in Serbia, beating Zvezda, which is obviously, you know, the big club in youth basketball, and you know, there's a big push with Mega. What did it mean for you guys to already at that level beat a team like Zvezda, who you're battling in Belgrade, and to win at the cadet level?
I think the last years, but this last years we lost to Zvezda two times, and this year we lost again with Zvezda two times. First time it was battling, they won, I think, 3-point differential. Second game we were leading. They set the zone, and we didn't have the solution, and we lost. But on the final tournament, we were very self-confident because we won against Partizan, 30 points, and then we came in like, okay, we're gonna have revenge on these two wins, and we're gonna show it. And I think we played the team basketball, we played a good basketball. They didn't have the solution for us. I think the low post, Petsarski was good. I think it's a big problem for them because they didn't play against Goga, who didn't play the both games in the Super League. I think that's a big thing. He's a big guy. He can block the shots. And we did a very good job. Meaning Zvezda, I think, won the four straight under 17 titles, and to take home the first title, first championship title for Mega, I think it's a great.
What's it like being part of Mega nowadays? I mean, you see guys being drafted, you see them, you know, doing things in Europe. You know, you're part of the youth team, you now win a championship for the club. You know, this is an up and rising come. You have young European players who come to Mega because they see that there's success there. What's it like being part of this club?
I think it's a very great opportunity to be in Mega Legs because they're the youngest team in ABA Liga, and they were in the finals. Unfortunately, they had a lot of injured players, and they didn't. It's not a real result against Red Star because they lost. They didn't win a game. They lost 3-0. But I think it's a very great opportunity to be in Mega because a lot of, like, I don't know, the five players are going to be drafted: the Zubats, Luvavu, Rade. It's a very great generation.
And even the three last year.
Nikola Jokic is also great because he didn't play the EuroLeague. He didn't be in some bigger club. He was just from Mega straight to the Denver Nuggets, and he's having a really great season. I think it's a great thing. Mega is always having, like, in last year, she had four players, I think, being drafted: Micic, Dangubic, and Jokic. They're doing big stuff in the European clubs. Also, Vasa won the ABA League and played top 8 pretty well, like, in Bayern München last year. So I think it's a pretty great job. And Mega is doing a great job because each season they're better and better and better. They're setting higher goals. Last year we were in Hospital Belgrade, we were seventh. Now in Rome we won the finals first time. I think I think next year will be much, much better, and I'm expecting the finals next year.
Maybe talk about the meaning for you last year going to the Jordan Brand Classic. You know, it's a big honor to be selected in this game. Maybe what it meant for you to be there, and then, you know, to be recognized as one of the top talents in 99.
I don't know, because it's a great opportunity to go and to play. To be 16 years old and to play in a Barclays Center, to meet the greatest ever to do it. What's better than that? Some much better players never played in the NBA gym, and you get that opportunity to do it with 16 years old to be participant. It's a very big honor to be in a 40 players even in Europe and to go in Zagreb.
Croatia. Yeah,
and to
Zagreb.
Go in Zagreb. Mm-hmm. Zagreb is a great city. I think that very great organization with Cedevita's training center. Then playing that All-Star game, the coaches were very good, and I think it's a great honor for me. I don't know how to say it differently, because there's no other word how to explain, because
I suppose Jordan means a lot to you anyhow, though, right?
Yeah, he's a really icon for basketball. When you say basketball, you think about him. You know, when you go to the street and ask who is wearing number 3, they will tell you who's number 3. There's no when you see the logo, it's you know the face. You know who is it. You even don't need to play basketball.
Yeah.
But you will know who's here. You don't need the rules, but when somebody says basketball, he says, oh yeah, I'm MJ, but I don't know much about it, but he's the best.
Who are some of the players that you looked up to when you were growing up playing, when you started?
Now in my club, I hear the player, I always look up to the best, and I'm trying to be better in each segment of the game. I don't know, defense, low post plays, face up, playing one-on-ones, and I think KD is the best example, because he's like 6'9", like me, maybe taller, but he has long arms, long legs, not so. Good frame, good and very good shot. I think I should look up to them, to him, and to try to patent my game to him. But I'll look up to him. I know I have the great example in Mega. Rade Zagorac is also like that. Good ball handling, can play on the low post. I think that he needs to improve more his shot, but it's okay. These two players are like
the
main role models, and very similar to me.
How much does your relationship with your dad and the fact that he played basketball, how much does that help you?
I think that helps a lot, because he knows a lot about basketball. He played a good basketball, and I think some of the segments in the game he tries to tell me, hey, you know, because he remembers everything. He knows basketball, and he'll tell me, hey, I think you should go there and fix your position, and like I was like, and I always listen to him, because nobody wants you better than your family. I think I think he's doing everything to help me improve and to help me be better, like in the Mega, I think.
Maybe real quick, a little bit about your game, what you're working on right now. I mean, you're still really young, and you still have a lot of time, but where you see a weakness is that you really are, you know, that this is the next thing. You know, you've had a long season, and you know, you're done, and, you know, national team is going to be starting up. Where do you see what you want to work on as the next thing?
I think I'm gonna work a lot with strength and condition. You know, like I'm saying, like players for me and Marko Pecarski, we had the games two times in a week, you know, Saturday and Sunday, and you're going like practicing ten times a week and going to have two games playing 30 plus minutes. It's hard. And you have like this final tournament in cadets, you're going like, and we have no time to celebrate, you know, we have no time to celebrate because we're going to play major roles here. And then, you know, if we won, but we won't have time to celebrate this, you know, we're going in 5 days to the junior under 19 tournament. And I think that
the Serbian under 19s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The strength and conditioning is a main goal. I think to improve a lot of ball handling skills. I need to be better than that, better than this. I think to left side to be stronger, to have that stronger first step in left side. I think I'm doing that good in right, but to be more faster in left side, to use both hands, like to use my left as my right. I think that's enough for the summer.
How disappointing is it that you're not going to be in Saragossa, knowing, you know, you at the under 17 World Championship? You know, there's you, there's Pekarski, there's Uskovic, you know, there's a lot of talent in 99, 2000 in Serbia, and then a team like Finland's there. How disappointing is it that you're not playing in Saragossa in 5 weeks?
What can I say? I was injured in last summer. I had a torn meniscus. I was recovering for 3 months. I was very sad looking the guys struggle in the European Championship, losing from Finland like two times. I was happy because we reached to the knockout stage. We didn't win a game against Italy, I think. We won. And not being there, not competing on the national team level with also great guys, I think a lot of good players will be there. The US team is... US, Canada. I played on the Jordan Brand Classic with a team from... with a guy from Canada. I think he's good. Yeah. He's a good...
B-team, Musa.
Yeah, B-team, Musa. It's a lot of great talent. It's sad that we are not participating in that tournament, but what can you do? I hope you'll be in the World Championship under 19.
Do you have a plan this summer? Do you want to try to make the under 18 in Samson, or are you going to try to rest?
I will see.
Depends what happens after 19s.
Yeah. I will see what's the result and how my body will feel. And if it's everything is okay, why not? But if I had some problems with injuries, but I don't think so. It's natural to rest if you have some problems.
I'll let you go with that, man.
All right. Yeah. Another good kid. I was really impressed with him and both on and off the court. And really nice game. Still a little bit raw, but great body and really just can do a lot of really nice things. And look forward to seeing how he develops. Would have been great to have him in Serbia with Pekarski and Uskovic there. In Spain, but you know, that's what happens. Sometimes the big countries don't always get through. So yeah, that's the last interview. And with that would be the last podcast from Regensburg in a month. Catch you on the other side of July, actually, in July. First one in July will be the first one back in Germany. Not in Germany, in Regensburg, because I'll be in Berlin. But, finish it off, let you know what you're listening to. The song's called When He Comes, and it is by Holly Golightly and the Broke-Offs. It's available on freemusicarchive.org. We'll talk to you from Berlin.
Aaron White. I play for Telecom Baskets Mon. You're listening to Taking the Charge.